Hoffaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Have you ever heard of a practical atheist? The practical atheist is the person that says, I do believe in God, but practically, he lives as though there is no God.
That was Pastor Joe Henson, an associate pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, we're continuing to work through the book of James as Pastor Joe Henson shares with us a message called Mistakes in Planning Ahead, based on James chapter 4. We'll see how difference makers are marked by future planning by faith.
How do we make our plans? Do you realize that sometimes we make a mistake in how we plan? Well, if we make mistakes in the way we plan, it's going to be hard for God to bless our plans. Today we want to find out how God can bless in our planning. Now, you've turned with me to James chapter 4. Would you read with me, please, verses 13 through 17? Read out loud with me, if you would, please, here, starting at verse 13. All right, God's word says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We're going to look at three mistakes that we commonly make in planning. You know, many times my plans, I think I've got it all worked out, and it just doesn't happen the way I see it. Could I remind you of what Solomon said so many years ago? In Proverbs chapter 3, he said this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Here in James chapter 4, really centers on the idea of how we use our time, and what we do with it, how we do our planning. Now, do you kind of wish that you had a crystal ball you could look into just to see what's coming next, maybe? How would you like to have been the last guy to buy a ticket on the Titanic? That would be kind of a rough thing. I read about someone a couple of weeks ago. I thought this was interesting. Maybe you've read the story of the real estate developer named Larry Silverstein. Though he owned impressive property in New York City, according to his own words, he was very, very obsessed by the desire to add the great Twin Towers of the World Trade Center to his portfolio. He did. His dream came true. 6 weeks before the World Trade Center went down in 9/11, Larry Silverstein signed the papers for a 99-year lease on that building worth $3.2 billion. I wonder if he would have liked to have had a crystal ball to know what was coming. Well, folks, there are no crystal balls that work. In fact, we have something far better than any crystal ball could be. We have the living Word of God. And in the Word of God, God gives to us instructions in how we can plan our future successfully. So when we plan His way, we're good. When we plan our way, we're going to have some problems here. In fact, James tells us of mistakes that people make commonly when they are making their plans. So if we can understand these mistakes, perhaps we can stop making the same mistakes we've made in the past when it comes to our future. Let's see what we can learn today from our passage. The first mistake that we often make in planning is making your plans, but without God's input. We see that very clearly here. Look at verse 13, James chapter 4. James says, go to now, ye that say. He says, hey guys, listen up here. Don't miss it. Understand what I'm telling you. You guys that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Now they're making plans. And by the way, let me add this. It is not wrong to plan. We have to understand that. Here in our text, we see people that have planned and they've made pretty extensive business plans, wouldn't you say? I see the basics covered here, the when, the where, the how, the what, and the why. Think about it. When are they going to do it? Well, today or tomorrow. Where are they going to go? Well, in this city or that. Can't you see them pointing on a map? We're going to go here or here. How are you going to do it? We're going to spend a year. What are you going to do? We're going to do business there. Why are you going to do it? Well, it's obvious. We're going to make money. And they had their plan all figured out. The only thing they forgot is the who. Because nothing here in their plan says anything about God or what God wants. Folks, planning is not wrong. In fact, the Bible has much to say about planning ahead. Jesus himself said this in Luke chapter 14. He said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost?" You have to figure out if you're going to be able to pay for it. You got to plan ahead and see if it's going to work out, because if it doesn't work out, you don't want to go down that road. In the same passage, he says this, "What king is there who is going to make war against another king, but first he doesn't sit down and consult whether he can do it with 10,000 or 20,000 men?" He says it's wise to make plans. Proverbs talks about wise men, and wise men foreseeing trouble coming in the future, therefore they change their plans and they go a different direction. In fact, as you look at Proverbs overall, there's a couple of messages that come out. One is it's wise to plan. It's a good thing to make plans. But a second thing you see in Proverbs is simply this: it's very foolish if you don't make plans. So James here isn't saying don't make plans, but he is saying don't make your plans without God. That's the point of what he's talking about here. Notice, it is right to plan, but it's wrong if I make my plans and don't consider what God has. It's right to set goals, but it's wrong for me to set goals without God in mind. I've got to have God in my plans. Now, you know what an atheist is. The atheist is the person that says, "I believe there is no God." And we understand that. In fact, maybe you have met someone that says, "I don't believe in God," or "God doesn't exist." You know what? That is sad. When I hear people talk that way, I just kind of cringe in my heart. And I think, oh my, how could we get the truth to that person? And I hear them say, "There is no God." And by the way, they live as though they believe there is no God. Have you ever heard of a practical atheist? You know what the practical atheist is? The practical atheist is the person that says, "I do believe in God." But practically, experientially, he lives as though there is no God. He doesn't consider God when he makes his plans. He doesn't consider God in his business or his work or his life. He doesn't consider God in his family. Folks, that's what a practical atheist is. Someone that just doesn't see God in these things. And you really, I think that's much sadder. Oh yes, I believe in God, but I just live like I don't. How sad. Practical atheist. He acts like there's no God. He doesn't allow God to enter his planning. He goes about his business as if everything depends on him. We could call this man not an atheist, but a self-theist, can't we? Because what he has done is he has put himself in God's place. And he says, "I know better than God. I believe there's a God, but I will take care of my life and I will take care of the planning and I will make sure things are going the way I think they need to go." Folks, that's self-theism or practical atheism. By the way, this is the kind of person that James is talking about here in chapter 4. That's what he means here. Now, understand, we need to make our plans, but we need to make our plans with God in mind. Look at verse 15 with me. See what he says? "For that ye ought to say," what? "If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." Note the "if" there. If you've never marked your Bible, put a circle around that word "if." That's a big little word right there. If the Lord will. Have you ever had plans fall through? Whoa, I have. Plenty of times. I've had things set up in my mind. I know how it's going to work, and I get there, and nothing goes right. You ever heard of Murphy's Law? What can go wrong will go wrong, of course. And we expect that. Folks, do you understand that the plans in this life are very iffy? We have to understand that if we're going to make plans God's way. Now think about this. Life is one big if. In fact, if you spell life, L-I-F-E, if is right in the middle of it. Life is iffy. It is iffy. It is full of uncertainty. And we don't know what's going to happen. We certainly don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next month or this summer. We just don't know. We can make educated guesses. We can plan what we think will happen. But folks, do you understand? Without God, that kind of planning is nothing but presumptuousness. We're presuming on something that isn't here yet. James is teaching us that instead of saying, I'm going to do this and that and make this much money here and there, we ought to be saying this: if God wills it for my life and provides the opportunity, I will. That's what we ought to be saying. So the starting point in all of our planning needs to be what? It's not getting the calendar out and a red pen. The starting point in our planning needs to be, Lord, what will you have me to do for you? And, Lord, what do you not want me to do? And let's start our planning there. Now, someone has said this: planning without prayer is presumption. I like that. Planning without prayer is presumption. All of our planning has got to start with if the Lord wills. In other words, we're planning, get this now, with the contingency of God's approval. God, if this is what you want, this is what we'll plan to do. My attitude needs to be, whatever God wants for my life, that's what I want. God, your will comes before my will, and I need to be making my plans that way. By the way, we see that played out in the life of the Apostle Paul through the New Testament. Several times we see Paul making almost those identical statements. For instance, back in the book of Acts, chapter 18, he says this: I will return to you if God will. Talking to his friends, the Ephesian elders. There was another time when he was speaking to the Corinthians. He said in chapter 4, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will. Hey folks, you know what? We could use something like that, couldn't we? We will do this, Lord willing. Now, if you do that, don't let it be a trite, flippant statement, because there's no merit to that. If you do it, you say it, God, I want you to have charge of my plans, and so, Lord, according to your will, be this done. This is what we will do, according to what you want.
Thank you for listening to today's message with Pastor Joe Henson, our special guest on today's edition of Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.